WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
It is a Monday night. Goodness, it actually feels like a Sunday a little bit. Maybe it's just me. Of course, Ben is working the knobs and the buttons and the sliders. Ben, how are we doing this evening, sir?
Doing very well, Kevin. How are yourself, sir?
Very nice. Doing a good job on sound effects.
Thank you, thank you.
That bump in pay is really going to good use. Thank you, thank you. Hold your applause to the end. We have a great show for you this evening, starting off in a few moments. Actually, speaking of folks warming up in the bullpen, joining us after we check the roadways, State Representative Patrick Kearney, representing you in the 4th Plymouth District. He'll be talking a little bit about some of the first few days he's had in the State House. The plan was for him to be in studio, but he is so consumed with filing bills. They have until, I think, the end of the week, I think till Friday, to file bills. So he is very busy already up at the House. We'll also get details. I'm curious as to where he is positioned in the little bullpen that they stick all the new state representatives as they find them, assign them offices, as the old offices are being cleared out, the space is being cleared out, and then they assign them to places. We'll find out how he has gotten acclimated since being victorious November 6th. We'll chat with him. And then we have Marianne, the pharmacist, who works over at the Osco Pharmacy inside the Marshfield Shaws. She's going to be in to chat a little bit about the recent flu outbreak. Now, if you recall, and Ben remembers this, he better remember this, that is when I had the on-air flu shot.
This is true.
I have not become ill yet.
I like how you still use the word yet, yeah. But that's good. It's a good sign.
Word is, though, that if you're not careful, there are stronger strains of the flu, so you could still contract it. Or at least I'm going to find out if that is true as she joins me. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the importance of getting the shingles vaccination. Have you been vaccinated? Is it just one vaccination, or is it a series of vaccination? We'll talk to him about that. And then we'll have old friend Adam Bond joining us, and we are going to discuss... We can discuss about, and it's an issue going on with the rail-based freight transportation company, CSX. I guess there's a little bit of an issue with these trains running. Adam Bond, always at the ready with his legal documents, and of course he is a lawyer. He also is a member of the Middleborough Planning Board. I think he's the chairman. And so, Adam, we're going to discuss this particular issue and many more. And then we'll follow that with author Dr. Catherine Sanderson talking about her new book, The Positive Shift. And this particular book is going to be out, I want to say, next week. So we're giving a little bit of an early conversation before it hits the shelves. But... this is coming just in time for Blue Monday. Do you know what Blue Monday is?
Can't say that I do, Kev.
They technically call it the saddest day of the year. It's like a combination of post-Christmas blues and the cold, dark nights and the arrival of the Christmas credit card bills.
Sounds like late January.
It's all like a perfect storm, and Dr. Sanderson is going to give us a little bit of help getting over those Blue Monday blues.
Yeah, we all need a little bit of that, right?
Yes. So, and then finally, if you will, I'll have you cue in a second here. Comedian Dave Russo going to be sharing some details about an upcoming show at the Polish Club in Abington. And I might say is Dave's everywhere these days. If he isn't doing stuff with Dirty Water TV, my goodness, I saw him on TV just the other day.
I actually like playing the sports probably more than I do. Like what?
I would say play the other one that I gave you.
Hey, Charlie, you should try the Farmhouse Blend. Only 99 cents. Any size.
Do you work here?
No. Ah, Farmhouse Blend.
Yeah.
Good call.
That's what you told me to get. You sure you don't work here?
No.
It's one surprise after another. Delicious Farmhouse Blend coffee. 99 cents any size. Only at Cumlin Farms.
All right, so thank you very much for playing the right one. That, of course, Dave was the guy who was not only at the counter. There was Charlie Moore, the Mad Fisherman. Now, of course, this program in no way endorses Cumlin Farms coffee, although I think I had a cup of it 3 weeks ago. But I just wanted to just kind of tease you with Dave, who's going to be joining us at a quarter of eight this evening. So without any further ado, we're going to kind of pull the Monday Night Talk bus over to the side of the road. And joining us is Lisa DeMilo in just a second. But it's being brought to you, her traffic report, being brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. Lisa, how are we getting home? How are the folks doing getting home during this blustery evening?
Well, you know, I think Blue Monday is the word for it, Kevin. On the expressway southbound from the tunnel down to South Bay, you're just crawling and you're back in it after Bryant Ave down to the split. Northbound's tied up before Granite Ave up past Neponset Circle. From there, you're good approaching the tunnel. Route 3 South is backed up coming off the expressway. Northbound's okay. The Bourne and Sagamore bridges are delay-free. Route 24 South now stop and go from Harrison Boulevard down through Brockton. And Route 44 is good. This report is sponsored by Compassion International. You can change the world for a child in extreme poverty through Compassion International. Just text CHILD to 83393 to find out how. Traffic on the 9s every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WAT. TD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeffrey from Brennan Smoke Shop. I want to wish all of our very good customers and friends a happy, healthy, and safe new year. I'd also like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued patronage of our small business here on the South Shore. Without the support from this most excellent community of people, our small business couldn't survive this highly regulated, highly taxed industry. From all of us at Brennan Smoke Shop, thank you. In return for your patronage, it is our commitment to you to stand up and fight for your rights, freedoms, and liberties this year and every year. Infinity plus infinity plus infinity plus infinity. Brennan Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and Pope's Island in New Bedford. Brennan Smoke Shop, the very best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back here on Monday Night Talk. Our very first guest representing you in the 4th Plymouth District that's situated in Marshfield. We have on the line State Representative Patrick Kearney. Your representative, how are we doing this evening?
Awesome, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a long time since we've chatted, since you christened us with bacon back a couple of months ago during one of the political forums.
Yes, I'm happy to be back on talking to you and telling you what we've been up to up at the State House.
What's it been like since you got elected? I mean, what's the feedback you've been getting from the residents in the district?
It's been very exciting. Obviously, after November 6th, it went from campaign season to transition time, getting bills ready, ideas ready, starting to draft legislation, also meeting with other reps. We were given the opportunity to go out to UMass Amherst for a three-day legislative retreat. So I was out there with the newly elected reps. There's 25 of us and a bunch of newly elected senators as well. So it's that transition from election season to getting to know my colleagues, to getting to sworn in has been very exciting.
I have to ask, I know that there were a couple of, besides yourself, there were a couple of other new state representatives. Did you have a chance to bond during the getaway?
Yes, I've created some awesome relationships with a bunch of new reps. I look forward to working with them and all of their aides. It's fun, actually, because all of us are in two rooms in the basement right now. There's 12 reps in one basement room and 13 reps in another. They call it the bullpen. So every day we have the opportunity to work side by side and continue to foster those relationships.
You had mentioned about that you've been working, scurrying. I know you and I have been corresponding back and forth. You've got just merely 3 or 4 days before you have to have everything in if you're filing any legislation, right?
Yes, the filing deadline is January 18th at 5 p.m. So everything that we have been trying to get filed, we have diligently been drafting and working on to get that in by the filing deadline at the end of the week.
Anything in particular that you're working on?
There is a long list of things that I'm working on. Friday afternoon, I was really excited to draft and file a piece of legislation with my colleague Maria Robinson in the House. What the bill does is pays all residents of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that are on active duty with the United States Coast Guard. The bill pays them while the federal government is still shut down, and then the secretary would file for reimbursement from the federal government. So we just filed that on Friday. There's a lot of issues that you and I had discussed throughout the campaign trail.
Correct.
Things that I'm trying to take from the trail and put into legislation, everything from requiring that the statewide prescription monitoring system use blockchain technology so that the doctors, the pharmacies, and the patients are all talking to each other and that all of the prescriptions can be tracked so that people are not filling prescriptions at multiple pharmacies. It is not the whole answer to the ongoing opioid epidemic, but it would keep a significant amount of opioids off the street. So that's something that I'm working on. I've been working with Representative Mike Soder. He is a rep from the Bellingham-Uxbridge area. He is someone that has adopted a daughter, and he brought to my attention that adoptive parents are not given the same rights for maternity leave as birth parents. So we've been drafting legislation so that says any parent that is adopting a child is given the same rights to maternity leave as birth parents.
So I have to ask, go ahead, I cut you off, what were we saying?
No problem. That's two of a long laundry list of things that we're filing, that's all.
What's that like for you? Again, I mean, what is it like once you have finally put the language, you know, pen to paper and completed it and then have it, I'm sure it's looked over, you know, and you know that it's going to go through a process, and this is just the starting process. It's just not only authoring that legislation, but also getting it filed just in time.
The experience of drafting the legislation, floating it to my other colleagues in the bullpen, and having them critique it, amend language, add language, get rid of, you know, strike language, is a big learning curve. It's exciting. But what the other thing that a bunch of us have been working on, veteran reps and freshman reps, is changing some of the House rules. So right now, last year, over 5,000 bills got filed. Roughly 10%-ish were even voted on. So getting some of these bills pen to paper is exciting. But what I am even more excited about, in the next few weeks, there will be discussion about the House rules package and how the House gets run. And there are there are a bunch of us that are trying to add things to the House rules that would allow for some of these bills to move quicker.
It's very good. That's and that it sounds like you've done a lot in a short amount of time.
It's been a lot of reading. Been working 24/7. I'm very grateful for my staff and the staff that other reps have loaned to this process, and I look forward to hopefully making sure that all of the bills that we are filing and the reps, the other bills that other reps are filing, get a fair look for a vote.
Now, you and I chatting, setting up this discussion, one of the things I had mentioned is that, anticipating the governor's budget. While many of us, we don't know, if you pay close attention to his inaugural speech, he outlined a lot of things. What are your thoughts? Just educated guess as to some of the areas we're going to see a little bit of a bump up in regards to the governor's budget for 2020.
So the governor had an awesome inaugural speech. I think that he touched a lot of the topics and issues that need to be addressed in this legislative session, everything from protecting our police officers to increasing funding for our public education system. There are two budgets, one of which the legislature has a lot more control over and one that the governor's office and his administration have more control over. The yearly operating budget of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is something that the governor can work with House and Senate leadership on, but the legislature and the Speaker of the House really has control over the operating budget. It's funny, when Mitt Romney was governor of the Commonwealth and Speaker of the House Sal DeMacy was the Speaker, he went in and said, "Mr. Speaker, this is my budget." And he said, "Oh, that's interesting, Governor. I'll let you know when I'm ready with mine, and I'll give you my budget." So there's the operating budget, which is given a lot of oversight and a lot of control to by the legislature and the legislative branches. The governor's capital bonding budget is something that the legislature has very little control over, and they purposely keep the language pretty vague so that they can use monies for capital projects how they would want to use them. So it's always good to hear that the governor has a lot of the same priorities on making sure we fully fund education, making sure that we tackle the ongoing opioid epidemic. What they do with those monies and how they use those monies to tackle these issues with the capital bonding budget remains unclear.
Has anybody from Marshfield or Scituate, any of the officials approached you and said, and asked as far as if you got any insight or any of their concerns in regards to whether it's for local aid, whether it is for, they're situated in Marshfield, both coastal communities and projects in regards to seawalls? Any conversation had since you've been sworn in?
I have a great relationship with all of the elected officials in both Marshfield and Scituate. I try to touch base with them on a regular basis to talk about what their priorities are. Obviously, the ongoing effects of climate change and rising sea levels are of concern. So doing everything that we can, there's a bill before the legislature that I'll be co-sponsoring that looks to put Massachusetts on 100% renewable energy by 2050. So tackling everything that we can do as a state to combat climate change, but also fighting for funding for things like seawalls, things like infrastructure to hopefully solve the brown water issue in Scituate are among my priorities, as well as among the priorities of the local officials. So I'm happy to have open communication with them, and I'll be fighting for funds for them within the state budget so that they can have the monies that they need to tackle those issues.
Yeah, we're speaking with State Representative Patrick Kearney, representing the 4th Plymouth District. Just digressing for half a second, talk to me about what was it like to be sworn in, and who did you have in the chamber with you, taking pictures with you as you were, being sworn in and positioned within the chamber?
Being sworn in was awesome. It was the culmination of a lot of hard work and effort from friends and family to make sure that we were successful on the campaign trail, and taking the oath of office to do everything that we can to support and defend the Constitution of the Commonwealth and the United States was extremely rewarding. I had my whole family there. It was also a nice tribute. My mother served in the House of Representatives. We are the first ever mother-son that served in the Massachusetts House. So a little bit of a historical day for the Commonwealth. I was happy to be a part of that. And I was excited also to vote present in the Speaker's vote. I had promised the people of Marshfield and Scituate that I was going to vote my conscience when it came to legislating, and I did that on day one. I believe in term limits for the Speaker. I don't think we're doing enough on education and climate change, and I think it's always exciting and important to have turnover in leadership as we face and try to come up with solutions to the problems of tomorrow.
And if I may, your mom, Marianne Lewis, correct?
Yes.
Ah, and I remember your mom. She's done the program a number of times. I remember when she was running for, she ran for a couple of offices. She ran for Congress, and I believe she might run for County Commissioner too, if I'm correct.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, your mom, fantastic. She's a fantastic person, and somebody who we've enjoyed having a conversation with because she's so vibrant. You know what I'm saying?
But I love her.
I don't have to tell you that's your mom.
She's my favorite.
Amen. And I'm sure, now, are you her only child, or are you one of how many?
I'm one of two. My younger brother was my campaign manager, and he's just as smart and just as vibrant. So it's good to have the family unit behind you.
So I have to ask, what's the plan? Have they told you how long it's going to take before you finally have your own desk and you'll have a spot for your aide?
That's kind of up in the air right now. We do have a desk with a computer in the big office spaces. I'm not exactly sure how long it'll take for us to get out of the bullpen and get our own office space. That'll be up to the Speaker and the business manager of the State House. So we're more than happy to be understanding of whatever timeline that is.
And if folks, as we're wrapping up here, if folks want to get in touch with you or your office, how easy is that? Do you have a phone number that's yours, or do you have to wait a bit before constituents can call your office?
No, constituents have already been calling my office. We are excited to take phone calls. I put in the Marshfield and Scituate Mariners as well as the Patriot Ledger that if anyone has any good ideas for legislation, to please get in contact with my office before the end of the week. Our number at the State House is 617-722-2425. And my email is patrick.kearney@mahouse.gov. And I really look forward to continuing to work with constituents, not only on legislation, but also on constituent services in the district.
And I want to thank you for making yourself available to do a program like this, or be ready if you're called upon by the news department to, you know, discuss some of the things you're working on for this district.
Kevin, I can't thank you enough for having me on. I really appreciate the continued dialogue, and you have my phone number. Anytime you have any questions, any concerns, anytime you're looking for an update, I look forward to being a part of the show.
Listen, be safe and keep up great work.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
You got it. Here he is.
Have a great night.
Have a great night. Thank you. Night, please, hold your applause till the end. Of course, that was State Representative Patrick Kearney, who was our first guest of the evening, talking about some of the things that he is working on. I hope that he actually answered. Tricia from Marshfield actually called and asked, I believe, as far as his abstaining from a vote and his reason. It was kind of, it all happened so organically. I was planning on asking if he had taken any votes yet, and he actually answered it. So thank you for tuning in, Tricia, and thank you for calling in and asking Ben that question. I hope that answered it for you. And if you missed it, don't forget, we do put the podcast up on a regular basis. We are up to date, finally, with all of our podcasts. It's like 950 podcasts. It's maddening. But those are all the podcasts that we've done since, I think it's been like 8 years, that Kevin Tachi has been your host of Monday Night Talk, taking over, of course, for now Mayor Bob Hedlund, who was a state senator at that particular time. Well, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the flu outbreak. We're going to talk a little bit about the shingles vaccination and more with Mary Ann, the pharmacist from OSCO, right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we are back in studio shenanigans. I apologize. As Patty Ann from Patty Ann's Photography is part of Mary Ann's entourage. You always come with an entourage.
I'm important.
As long as you didn't come, with any needles, no needles. We did that the last time.
Nothing.
And she was also teaching me during the break her last name because I was afraid to say her last name right. So it's Shirikjan.
That's correct.
Mary Ann Shirikjan. She is a pharmacist.
I am
at the OSCO Pharmacy inside of the Marshfield Shaws. And how long ago was it that I got my flu shot from you?
You got your flu shot. I should have looked up the exact date, but I believe it was around October.
Okay.
That you got your flu shot.
I haven't.
Great timing.
I haven't been sick yet.
Excellent.
Knock on particle board. Here we are. It's, you know, near the end of, well, it's the middle of January. Is it too late to get the flu shot if somebody hasn't already got it?
It is not too late. Flu,
really?
Prime flu season is from December through March. But people can get the flu up and through April and May. So if you haven't had a flu shot, it is not too late and advised to still get a flu shot.
Can I ask you a real simpleton question?
Absolutely.
How come they haven't come up with the gummy bear for these yet? Like, they've got the gummy bears for vitamins, for come on.
I'm just not sure that's how science works, yeah. Kev.
Polio is the only oral vaccine right now, but hey, from your lips to God's ears, who knows?
I mean, imagine if instead of a flu shot, it's like a flu gummy bear that you could take, and then you won't get the flu strain.
I hope it's not flu flavored.
I could, you know what? I might be onto something. Hopefully,
not, Kevin. Not this time.
I'm just saying, when you walk into a pharmacy, instead, I mean, you could take the vitamins or some of the, you know, whether it's the collective multivitamin or the individual vitamins or calcium, everything is in gummy bear. There's like a section now of all gummy bears, like a flu gummy bear.
Like I said,
I know,
from your lips to God's ears.
That'd be so cool. I mean, you gave me one for, like, you know, the shingles, you know. Here, chew this, you'll be okay. Just saying. Yeah. Is there really a flu outbreak?
there is a flu outbreak. There's already been confirmed deaths in this country. I believe the number last I checked last week was 30.
Wow.
So, yes, like I said, not too late to get your flu shot. Why not protect yourself and others?
And these are people who have did not get the shot, right?
The ones that I read had not got the shot. That is correct.
Here's my question that I had just asked. You know, I Ben and I, as we were opening the show, one of the questions that I just asked was, is it possible that I could get, could I still get the flu, but a stronger strain?
A different strain. If there is a different strain than what was in the flu shot, then yes, you could. Everything right now does point to that they did a pretty good job on the matchup. You know, funny fact, not so much a fact, but I had a customer this Christmas season. Elderly couple, family in from out of town, 12 people in the house, the couple, 10 others, 7 of them got the flu.
Ooh.
None of the 7 had the flu shot. My couple, they had their flu shot, they did not get the flu, and a couple other lucky ones, but 7 people confirmed flu, no flu shot.
I went to Disney in December, and I was petrified of getting, well, I mean, as it is, when you get on a plane, the one thing that you worry about is, are you going to catch someone's cold? And because it's like a flying germ box.
Yeah, close quarters.
Let's be honest. Thank you, Patty. It is a Petri dish. It's ugh. You know, I mean, I was almost tempted to have, like, you know, one of the little masks, the hospital masks, and get on the plane. But, you know.
But you wanted to have a drink, so that wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, exactly. How do I stick my straw through it? It just doesn't work. All right, so there's a flu outbreak, so why should I even bother to get the flu if, in fact, there's a chance that I could get the flu?
Because a very good chance you're not going to get the flu, and you're protecting yourself against 4 strains of flu. So why not?
Okay.
And it didn't hurt, right? We went through this.
So is it getting harder and harder with the different flu strains to find medicine to treat the flu and get rid of it?
Well, they have antivirals. It's actually a good point that you brought up. There's actually a new antiviral out on the market. Tamiflu, which people have probably heard of, is still out there.
Yep.
And there's a new one called Xofluza. I was going to look it up, but I actually remembered it, which I don't think a lot of people works differently than Tamiflu. So they're working on ways to help combat the flu when you do get it. So that's, you know, speeds up the healing, which is good.
You know, people, when they get sick, they usually, it's like they lose their sense, so to speak, or their common sense. Let's say I caught the flu, hypothetical here, because I don't want to catch it. What do I do to make sure that I'm not spreading it to everybody else in the household?
Well, first thing is, yes, stay in the household. Don't go out in the public.
Should I just have my own cup and plate and fork and spoon and,
absolutely,
and isolate myself to the basement or something?
Well, wash your hands. Washing your hands with soap and water is better than hand sanitizer.
Okay.
You know, those around you should be washing their hands. You shouldn't be sharing, like you said, cups, silverware, toothbrushes, spit. You know, watch when you cough to keep it to yourself. Don't project in the old elbow.
Are you paying attention to this, Ben?
I'm paying a lot of attention to this. I have also not received the flu yet this season, so that's a good thing, good sign.
The flu shot?
The flu shot or the flu.
Well, had I known.
You know.
Funny thing about that.
Wait, now, you said the flu season runs until when?
Peak flu season runs through March. December through March is peak flu season.
I'm thinking we have Marianne back in mid to late February, and we make him take a flu shot.
You're going to make a human guinea pig out of me?
Or a pin cushion.
Yeah, either way.
Kevin was one.
We all have fun, right?
I was, and I'm not a fan of needles.
You know, I can't say that I mind them anymore, but I have too far of a medical history to go into for that.
Okay. Good to know. So. Is it, and probably what I should ask, or I should have asked sooner, is who should get vaccinated? Is there any specific demographic, or is it across the board?
For the flu?
Mm.
Over 6 months old.
Okay.
Anyone over 6 months.
And there's only, how many different flu shots are there to date?
Well, at this point, we have a quad, which is four strains, which is the one you received.
Oh.
There is, and then
so does that protect me from multiple?
Yes, from four different strains.
Wow.
And then there's a over 65, which you're not there yet.
No, I'm putting into it.
So, so basically, that you know, there was a three strain, which they actually that's not available this year. There's also the nasal spray, which I don't recommend because it's a live vaccine. You can actually get the flu from the vaccine.
Oh my.
People still do it because they don't, children don't want to get a shot. So the parents.
Gummy bears.
Yeah, well.
I'm telling you, flu gummy bears. That's the way to get people to want to.
Do anything.
To be vaccinated. Yeah, do it all day long. We should move our conversation. Anything yes. else we should talk about in regards to the flu and the flu vaccination?
No, just get your flu shot. You cannot get the flu from the flu shot. Get your flu shot. It is not too late.
Marianne, the pharmacist, has spoken. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about shingles. How would I know that I have the shingles? How does one contract shingles?
Well, you don't necessarily contract shingles. You contract the chicken pox, which we probably all did as a child. You may or may not remember. I think you maybe remember. Yes. It was not fun.
It wasn't as bad as that episode of Friends, but I did contract it.
Okay. So once we get the chicken pox, that virus lives dormant in our bodies forever. So that, and when you're under stress, it comes out as shingles.
And how would I know I had the shingles?
Well, you would either have a severe pain, you could have, or break out in like pock, like, but it's unlike a chicken pock, which is just really itchy and annoying. Shingles are actually very painful.
Ooh.
It's all the nerve endings are firing. Even the touch of your clothing against your skin causes severe pain.
Okay.
So I've been told. I'm lucky I've never had it. However, my father had it. Had it in his eye, had it in his head. It was horrible.
I've also seen it firsthand, and you're basically better off just contracting plague, honestly. Just the same.
Can the shingles come and go?
Yes, because it lays dormant in your body, so it can you can have it multiple times. Oh, absolutely. And as we age, our immune system breaks down, and we're more susceptible to getting the shingles.
So is it safe to say the demographic of someone who is more susceptible of getting the shingles is 50 plus?
Well, 50 plus is the demographic. However, you don't have to be 50 to have shingles. I know high school kids that have had shingles, women in their 30s, but yes, they say 50 plus, which is why the vaccine is indicated for 50 plus.
So is it a one-time only thing for the shingles, or do you have to, like tetanus, have to update it periodically?
Well, the new vaccine that's actually was approved in 2018 is a two-shot series. You get the initial vaccine, and then 2 to 6 months later, you get what they call a booster to, you know, give you the full immunity, and you actually will then be up to 90% effectiveness rate on this vaccine.
Interesting you should bring that up, because I actually heard another radio personality of a grander scale than myself talk about he initially got the first shingle shot and then spent a while chasing the second one because it was in short supply. Is that true?
Yes, it's been on back order since July. But of course, your favorite pharmacist was able to procure quite a bit a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yes. So I can say that.
So could someone outright buy like both of them and go, all right, well, you get the first one, then buy the second one, and then when it's time, or should I just come back to you in 6 months and go, all right, give me the second one?
No, you just come back in 6 months and say, give me the second one.
Okay. It's definitely interesting. So did you actually say how long it stays in your body, though?
So there was a shingles vaccine that came out about, I'm going to say 10 years ago, but I think it's a little more, called Zostavax. That was a one-shot live vaccine, not that effective as they found out.
Mm.
They back when we were giving that vaccine, people would say, oh, do I have to come back again? Nope, that's the only one you need. And guess what? That's not true anymore, because now we have Shingrix. So once you get the two shots, 90% effective, and as I say, that's what they tell us right now.
Until
10 years from now, they upgraded to a better model. Who knows, right?
Okay.
So,
any side effects to these shots? Anything to be aware of if you get these shots?
I actually have had mine, so I can speak from experience.
Did you get shingles or you get the shots?
No, I got the shots.
Okay.
Got the shots. Painful, like a tetanus shot for a few days. Your arm is sore.
Really?
And you can feel a little punky the next day.
Patty Ann's giving me the,
No. She had hers too.
Yeah, I got to get her on microphone because last time she was, just to talk a little bit about her business for a minute or two since she came here as part of your entourage. All right, so it's painful. But both shots are painful?
Yeah. I mean, it's better than the shingles.
Okay.
It's better than shingles.
No chance of a gummy for that either, huh?
No chance of a gummy. All right. Sorry.
Listen, the guy's going to try. Anything we haven't touched upon in regards to the flu or the shingles or anything you want to just tell the folks who are listening here in the Marshall area in regards to the importance of getting your shots, whether it's your flu shot or your shingles shots, not
or
one, but
shot.
Two of them, or
yes, any shot.
Well, what other shots do you do? Do we need another show for that?
Well, we do every shot. I mean, pretty much any pharmacy you go into, you can get your flu shots, your shingle shot, pneumonia shots, hepatitis, anybody's traveling, hepatitis A, hepatitis B.
You do the pneumonia shot, huh?
You do the pneumonia shot, yes.
And that's also a certain demographic. Isn't that an older demographic?
There are two pneumonia shots. One is for only 65 plus. That's the Prevnar 13.
Yeah.
Then there's the Pneumovax 23. So if you're under 60 and you're a smoker, you have a heart condition, you have asthma, you are definitely, advised to get that vaccine.
Yeah, none of the above for me. I don't smoke. I don't have asthma. I can't. Knocking on particle board. I'm very, very fortunate.
That's a good thing.
Quit the smoking many, many years ago, so I'm breathing much easier. Well, and again, and now when do you work so folks want to come and say, hey, I heard you on the radio, and I want to get my shot from you because you sounded so nice, and I know you're working on gummy bears for the flu. And
well, I'm not there on Thursdays, but pretty much you can find me every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and every other weekend.
And I want to say that Marianne has a passion for this because she's in regular contact with me going, hey, we got to inform the folks about this, how important it is. And I spoke to Teresa, right?
You did.
All right, and I want to thank Teresa. She was fantastic. Yes. We know we had a chat with her as kind of the, to be able to get you on air, and she was awesome. So I'm glad we were able to talk about anything else that we haven't touched upon, but you want to make sure you...
Like I said, the importance of vaccination. We eradicated, smallpox and measles with vaccines. All the anti-vax people out there, we could probably, if you don't have people call in, because we'll have arguments all night long, the anti-vax will call, but,
Well, we also eliminated polio, but that supposedly came back.
A lot of things have come back because people stopped vaccinating.
For shame.
This country, other countries, they're not lucky enough, lucky like us.
Good to know.
So...
we're going to have you, Patty Ann, scooch up to the microphone. I hope your microphone is live because my board off. Go talk into it real quick.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, use this one for a second. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin.
There you go. See, I can hear you.
So am I talking into this one?
Yeah, just for the moment until Ben comes back. Oh, okay. And then Miriam won't be so uncomfortable.
Okay.
If you could put the green microphone up, you're good. You can talk right into that one.
Okay, cool.
You never do that. I'm not somebody who's a fan of talking about the behind the scenes stuff, but just I had no hand signals for him to have him do it. Patty Ann back again, part of Marianne's entourage. Patty Ann's photography. How's business these days?
Business is excellent. Actually, I just moved into a huge studio right across the street from you.
Yeah, you're no longer on Ocean Street. Is that correct?
No, I was there for a small, short time. I wanted to be in town, and it was just too small. It didn't work out, and the studio just fell upon me. I found it, and I'm renting an 1,800-square-foot studio behind Mulligan Appliance in the EMS Academy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And so what type?
Bigger than my house.
Is it really? What are you doing, like family portraits?
I'm bringing a kind of a new edge to Marshfield. I don't want to reveal it yet because it's kind of really cool, and it's done out in the southern part of the state. So I'm bringing that in shortly.
You taking pictures at the Plymouth Rock? What's the secret here?
It's kind of like a half pipe wall that I'm putting in.
Sure. So it all blends in. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing some fun stuff with that.
Very nice. Yeah. That blends real nice.
Yeah.
Looks good too.
So, but my main thing is families. I do newborns. I do a lot of ballerinas. So ballerinas are my passion. And I love doing families, but fun families. I'm not that typical old school sit down pose.
Stuffy.
She's
not stuffy.
Like Olin Mills?
No. Yeah. I have my pictures from Olin Mills still hanging on my mother's wall.
Oh my goodness. How much hairspray is in her head?
A lot. And it goes around the Yankee Swap every year, I must say. It's kind of
really?
It's kind of interesting, yes. So I'm trying to bring something different to Marshfield right now. Just, you know, some fun, like timeless, really cool pictures.
So you're the person to call for senior portraits.
I was gonna say, grad pictures.
Senior.
Prom pictures.
Prom pictures, senior pictures, newborns, toddlers.
Get in early for weddings. You do weddings?
I do a handful. Not my favorite thing in the world to do.
All right, so if you want to be part of our handful list.
I do about 6 weddings a year and I handpick them.
And if you want to find out more, you contact her. Actually, you have a website.
I do. I have Instagram, Facebook. You can call me. You can stop by my studio. If you see my car there, it says Patty and Photography. Come on in.
Yeah.
Unit 6.
864 Plain Street. Unit 6. And her website, Patty Ann. Of course, it's Patty with an I, Ann with an E, right, at the end. Photography.com. Patty, again, Patty with an I, at pattyannphotography.com. And I've actually seen some of her work, and I'm actually looking at it. That's fantastic.
He looks like a model, doesn't he?
He does. That's without makeup.
That's right.
Mm. And that's
so. She's amazing. This is the dump. My son's pictures were taken at the dump.
No. We're at the dump.
No, that's
W-A-T-D.
Right.
This is the
Halifax.
Well, I was just looking at your powerful woman revealed. What is it? I know we have a short life. What is that?
That's a show that's on Sundays.
On Sunday, okay.
Yeah, starting at 12:15.
Okay, I'm gonna
Nicole Perry. Yeah.
Oh, I did just see something about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll talk. Have your people call my people.
I will do that.
Thank you for coming in and taking great pictures as you always do.
Thank you.
And again, connect with her on Instagram. Check out her website, Marianne. Yeah. Always great talking with you.
Yes, thank you.
We will have to coordinate to get Ben a shot.
I think so.
Ben,
come on in. We missed him last time.
And maybe I should do the shingle shot.
I see shot.
You should consider things, Kevin.
I know I should consider things, shouldn't I? I got to say, this is the fun pictures that I took with Patty Ann. And I put them up, and people really gave it to me. I was like posing and having fun with it.
It's fun.
And people are just people, so.
Yeah.
But ladies, thank you so much for coming
in.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me a shout out. I appreciate that, Kevin. You didn't have to.
Again, you took pictures.
It was a nice segue from the shingle shot to Patty and photography.
Again, I got
to
take care of Marianne's entourage, so. Yep. Consider yourself part of the package.
Yes, so I hope you come and visit me again, too.
I will. I'll tell Sandy with an eye that you said hi.
Okay, very good.
All right. We're going to step aside. That is it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. Coming up on deck, Adam Bond, attorney at law. He'll be joining us in just a few moments here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD FM Marshfield. WATD Brockton.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass, not Dr. Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass. You see, when I was a kid, my dad took me to the doctors. For some reason, I don't remember. I do remember all those certificates, the diplomas, and all of them were written in Latin even. So one day I said, Dad, I'm going to be a doctor. Luckily for the general public, Dad said no. Tiny knows best. And now I do have an office, and the walls are loaded with certificates. All my auto glass technicians are certified and qualified to do all your windshield repair and replacement. My dad would be very proud of us.
My boys do a good job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
Hey, it's Jeffrey from Brennan's Smoke Shop. I want to wish all of our very good customers and friends
A happy, healthy, and safe new year. I'd also like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued patronage of our small business here on the South Shore. Without the support from this most excellent community of people, our small business couldn't survive this highly regulated, highly taxed industry. From all of us at Brennan's Smoke Shop, thank you. In return for your patronage, it is our commitment to you to stand up and fight for your rights, freedoms, and liberties. This year and every year, infinity plus infinity plus infinity plus infinity. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and Pope's Island in New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the very best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, so we are back for hour number two. And just for old time's sake, if you will, Ben, could you cue the music? No. You're killing me, dude. That's the wrong song. The one that says Adam Bond.
Oh, Lord.
No. You're too generous. I play this as to when, back in the day, when Adam Bond was talk show host.
Adam Bond and Victoria Bond, the two of us.
That's right. As part of, if you want to pull that down a little bit, Ben. Very nice. This was, I believe, your intro music for a bit. For
Clouds to the left of me. What is it? For left of me, Jokers to the right.
For your talk show, your radio show.
And Victoria and I actually felt that way. We had clowns to the left of us and jokers to the right. And now we're people before party, which is the same concept.
People before party.
There you go.
I'm actually doing that on the wrong radio station. But oddly enough, you are actually back home on 1460 AM as we are, I believe we're simulcasting the old signal, which is now WATD AM, as part of 95.9 FM WATD. Ben, if you will, I also want to make sure I get Adam in the right frame of mind in regards to our topic at hand as to what we are going to...
Oh, don't do it.
That we're going to discuss, if you will, sir.
Of course you will.
Of course, Mr. Bond is here to chat with us this evening about an ongoing effort to help a group of Middleborough residents.
Yes, that was not a gaseous rhino. That was a locomotive.
That was a locomotive. I was going to explain that.
Okay.
To help a group of Middleborough residents who live on Court N Ave, West Clark Street, Elm Street, and other streets in the area to resolve an issue regarding CSX leaving their locomotives idling mostly during the winter months. Now, the latest news is that the State Department of Transportation and the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, better known as the MBTA, are now involved with getting the rail-based freight company to agree on changing its operating habits locally. And what you were actually hearing was one of those locomotives actually out in the Chicago area, because they actually out in that area, also practice leaving their locomotives idling for long lengths of time.
Well, just to put into that, Pitts County, North Carolina, same issue. Camden, New Jersey, same issue. Philadelphia on Race Street, same issue since 2016. Middleborough for years. Foxborough, Mansfield. So those are just a few. So CSX is not a good neighbor.
So how did you get involved with the issue? Was it just one resident?
No.
Or was it a select group that came to you seeking a resolution for the trains idling near their homes?
Believe it or not, approximately a year ago, I can't even believe it's approximately a year ago, I had a resident who was talking about a couple of residents over there, Bob Norvish, who is just, he really is a nice fellow. He's just trying to live his life. And CSX just is doing everything they can to fill it with diesel particulate matter and sound. That's they like to fill that silent void. And starting back then, he came in and he explained to me that he could stand on his front lawn and just look around at the various neighboring houses and people have died in each one of them at young ages.
Mm.
There are people there that are sick right now from the diesel that the EPA...
Including him.
Yes, that the EPA has indicated is a carcinogen. Now, interestingly enough, I thought I'd do the right thing when I started. You don't just go out and sue. Mm. So on January 31st, 2018, I began the trek. January 31, 2018. Mm. Well, I started off by calling Gary Podlitsky, who's an inspector over at the DEP, who after a little bit of talking, he asked me who I was. I said a lawyer. He said, I quote, "You've tipped your hand, so I won't talk to you." Yes, our state...
How dare you be a litigator?
Our state employees, that's a great way. Then I called and tried to get a Jack Seidowitz. Couldn't get a hold of him at DEP. And then I called the EPA. I called a Tom Oliver, who's a lawyer over there. And he thought it was an interesting question. I should talk to Abby Swain. Talked to Abby Swain, and she essentially told me, "We're not spending any money on this issue. You talk to Maurice O'Connell."
So you became...
At CSX.
You became the proverbial hot potato.
Yes. And then when I talked to Maurice, well, that led to nothing. It led to a whole bunch of, "Oh, I'll talk to you. I'll get to you. I'll do this. I'll do..." Nothing else. So what's the issue here? Just so everybody's got it squared up, because the issue is real simple. They are a railroad. Under federal law, they are protected like the dodo bird. They are protected from certain types of lawsuits.
This is CSX.
Yes, CSX. They are preempted. There is preemption there because they're interstate commerce, and you wouldn't want anything to get in the way of interstate commerce. Not a couple of dead people.
No.
No, not sickness, not cancer, none of that stuff. So there's this thought that came to me as to who owns the land the train is on. Well, CSX years ago sold the land to the MBTA and the Mass DOT. When they sold it to them, one of the things that was in the agreements, in various of the agreements, is that the CSX agreed that they would follow local, state, and federal law. And they also agreed that MBTA / Mass DOT, I'm not even sure how they're structured anymore, could actually go about telling them how to adjust their operations for health, safety, and welfare reasons, and in order to keep them in compliance with the law. Well, that unfortunately works to the detriment of the Mass DOT, because what we figured out was ultimately, I went to the Board of Selectmen and asked for a cease and desist order against the MBTA and the Mass DOT, because the statute that we are dealing with says, and it's 310 CMR, Code of Massachusetts Regulation 7, that says no person shall cause, suffer, allow, or permit the unnecessary foreseeable idling of a diesel locomotive for a continuous period of longer than 30 minutes. Pretty clear, right?
Mm.
Well, that was so clear that apparently somebody at Mass DOT, when they sent a letter out to respond, said that they didn't have any obligation to enforce the law. It's a law that's a Massachusetts regulation. But even better, this is a law that was passed by Massachusetts under the Clean Air Act, which makes it federal. When it's federal, it becomes a federal environmental law. What's that do? That makes it something that is no longer preempted. You can actually use that federal law to go up against CSX. In fact, as one court said, to the extent that state and local agencies promulgate EPA-approved statewide plans, that's what this is, under federal environmental law, such as a statewide implementation plan, so they call them SIPs, under the Clean Air Act, the preemption generally, the ICCTA, which is the Interstate Commerce Agency, generally does not preempt those regulations because it is possible to harmonize that with federally recognized regulations. So in other words, they've got to work with you.
Mm.
But CSX won't work with anybody. CSX in all these different towns and all these different cities does what it wants. But there's been a solution that's been offered.
Well, I have to ask a question. Let me interject here.
Like.
They could have resolved this situation just strictly using something called an auxiliary power unit.
The APUs.
An APU that basically won't even cost money, because running these trains, idling these trains, actually is costing them money.
Yes, and actually there is a, first of all, the APUs are something that they hold a patent on that they created. There are even better things that are out there now that are less expensive that are called hot starts, which they can actually fix and maintain. They're cheaper to maintain than APU units, and you can buy the parts in a hardware store. But what happened was they got federal grants to put the APUs on. They got federal grants for the plugins to plug in the trains to keep. Basically, a diesel engine has to drop its water if it's going to remain idle. Otherwise, it's going to freeze and crack the engine block. Otherwise, it's got to stay warm. So you do the plugins or the auxiliary power units that continue to warm it up.
Right.
The hot starts are the same type of thing, but they also keep the brakes going and everything else. They got federal grant money to do this. They let everything go to seed, from what I can understand. And now the solution is that MassDOT and MassMBTA is going to use tax dollars to pay CSX, essentially, to stop doing what it's doing by putting in, paying for four new plugins and retrofitting six locomotives that are down there with the appropriate units to keep them warm. This will all save CSX $3.1 million a year in fuel, in diesel. So we're using tax dollars to pay somebody to do what they should be doing to save their shareholders money.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, am I under the understanding, though, that during all of this being passed around, that towards the end of the spring of last year, you reached some kind of an agreement with CSX to do something to remedy this. Am I incorrect in some of my research?
I was told by Maurice O'Connell, I can't remember which it is. He's the regional guy out here, that they would look into it. They would take some actions and do some things. We're not putting anything in writing, though. We can't put anything in writing, though. But we're going to do some things.
Because I was going to ask that. Did you get something in writing?
Yeah, they didn't do anything during the summer when they don't have the heat issue, when they don't have the cold issue. But as soon as it got cold, boom, they started up again. So we had to go and find a better source of remedy, and that's MassDOT and MBTA, who themselves were sued by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Justice for idling while in South Boston and Scituate.
Right at the street.
Yeah. And the thing that bothers me about that is the EPA was willing to do something for them. I got the big kiss off from the EPA. We don't have the money for that. So you got money to do it there, but you don't have money to help poor people in a poor part of the state who are breathing this garbage in, and you know it's garbage because you, the EPA, have said it's a carcinogen. And you tell me you can't do anything about it? Well, then maybe the MBTA that you sued before can do something about it. But MBTA and MassDOT are the only two that have come forward with a solution that'll work.
And I believe that you actually, now correct me if I'm wrong, has this issue been before your board, which your chair, and also the Middleborough Selectmen? Has it not been an ongoing conversation? The Middleborough Selectmen have been involved to try to get some kind
of Middleborough
Selectmen, traction.
Yeah, there was one discussion had about this before the planning board. Just to sort of square up some issues, because we had somebody from MassDOT there, and it was sort of tactically placed on the calendar just before the MassDOT people were supposed to go up. So they had to listen to all of this. But the people that are in charge and the people that have enforcement under the law, under this federalized law, are the Board of Selectmen. And what they did was they said, look, you know, Mr. Bond, what do you want to do here? So I asked them for a little bit of patience and said, look, why don't we think out of the box here? If we go out and we issue a cease and desist order against CSX, their lawyers will have an injunction sitting in the town hall before you guys even get home tonight. But if we go after MassDOT and the MBTA, who own the property, who are the landlords, who know what's going on and have control and ability to stop their own violation of the law, by allowing or permitting or causing or suffering that to happen, I think they'll react and we'll get some action. And one of the reasons I say this is under this law, they say no person owning or operating a diesel powered locomotive shall cause, suffer, allow. That's section one. Then the next section says, no person shall cause, suffer, and allow. If you do your little legal work there, it doesn't, you're not required to own it at that point. So there's the owner, and then there's the landlord, or the person who owns the tracks. Mm. So they're putting liability on both. And I think that's why the MBTA and the MassDOT actually came around and saw that it makes some sense, not only morally, but also economically, to do something with these people. One of the things that I've got to say is, I believe it was Mr. Eng who was there. He's an engineer, and he was the one who did most of the speaking. But Mr. Cologne was also there, and he did some of the speaking. They seemed, unless they're really good actors, they seemed genuinely concerned at getting this thing done, either for the liability or for the people. But they seemed concerned. They showed up. They did more than CSX has done by actually showing up and discussing it.
And this is worth noting, if I can interject here.
Go
this
right
is
ahead.
The
it's your show.
January 10th Middleborough Selectmen's meeting that, in fact, representatives from the MBTA and from MassDOT showed up and were willing to...
They proposed a solution. I mean, that's what was great. They had something to talk about. I mean, as I said at the beginning of that meeting, I was ready to have a very different tone in my presentation until they spoke and they actually laid out a presentation. I'm like, thank you. I still took some shots, but you know me. But
as Adam Frawley said, Alan, former state rep candidate. Is he the chair of the Board of Selectmen or just a member?
Just a member
Just a member. I believe there's a quote in it when somebody had asked in regards if you would forget, and they said, do you know Adam Bond? He doesn't forget anything. I believe that's a quote in here somewhere.
It is. And the thing is, what somebody had said was, I believe what they said was, we'll get through the summer and you people will forget about this. And that's when he said, then you don't know Adam Bond. Something like that. Adam Bond will forget. But these are good people. These are our neighbors. I mean, Victoria and I think a lot of the people in our town, the people that basically help us be in business, our neighbors. And this is something that, you know, everybody in that office, myself, Victoria, Charles, we all sit there and we all lend a hand in this, trying to do something for these people. I'd want somebody to go out there and try and help me if this were outside my door.
And it's also worth noting that other than the MBTA and the MassDOT, you had representatives from Congressman Keating's office.
Yeah.
From State Senator Mark Pacheco, and I believe newly minted State Rep Norman Oral was also there to be a part of the process.
Ms. Gifford, Representative Gifford was there, and then there was another person from the 1st District who was also there. So, yes, they were...
Why so much firepower? What is it...
I don't know where they came from.
Okay, but does it not pique your interest as an attorney? Why not just someone from the MBTA? Why not just pick at this with, why come together?
You want blunt? I'll give you blunt. The theory of liability that we have is sound. We would get past a motion to dismiss. The injuries to these people is evident, and that's going to have to be addressed at some point. And I think when it comes down to it, they understand that CSX is going to be interminably stubborn on this thing. They are sitting right now in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places I've identified where they are stubborn.
And that might be just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, and Foxborough is already having a problem with them, and they want to sue them. Good luck if you sue CSX. I think Foxborough needs to take a look and see whether or not MBTA or MassDOT own the length of track they're talking about. If they do, go down the same road. I mean, there have been other meetings where MassDOT officials have shown up to these things. State officials have shown up to have these discussions with other communities. I don't think anybody has threatened to sue them with a viable lawsuit.
Is there a concern, when you mention the MBTA, you know that there's been a long history of issues, especially financially, and knowing that, you know, it took this administration to get involved to try to fix some of the problems, that they felt that they didn't want to have the MBTA be as a part of a suit, so to speak, or named in a suit, one of many defendants in a suit, that it just wouldn't look good for PR reasons.
Well, I don't think it'd look good, but at the same time, you know, you've got to understand there needs to be serious changes to the federal view of railroads. We are not living in the 1800s anymore. These railroads cause damage. I mean, in Philadelphia, CSX, as my understanding is from the people that called me there, they're idling these trains across crossovers, which restricts the ability of safety personnel to get through. Foxborough was saying the same thing. That boggles my mind, that you would block a railroad crossing ever. I don't care that you own it. You can block. Those roadbeds are 50 feet wide. It's a 50-foot wide roadbed with a 22 or 44-foot road sitting there. Go 44 feet. Put a 44-foot distance between the two of you. What is wrong with these people other than that they believe that they have been anointed by Congress as gods? And that's how they act. And somebody needs to go back and say, yes, somebody can sue you for negligence. Yes, someone can sue you for pumping diesel particulate matter that's a carcinogen into our homes. But even the courts sit there and say, well, it may be preempted. Well, it may, they're really weak on this stuff.
But if this continues to happen. And you were to seek litigation, what will your difficulty be to ignorance and arrogance of the situation, but also the harmful effects? How would you prove the health damages that were caused to those folks?
The health damages actually are already sitting in federal databases. And where they are, for example, is in the Board of Veterans Appeals. Take someone with an MOS that worked in the diesel on diesel trucks the whole time, and you'll see in the BVA, the federal government awards veterans benefits for these people because they show the connection between working around diesel and getting COPD, getting colorectal cancer, getting a number of different things that are already there. So there's a huge amount of data. You just have to go to the veterans field to find it, which is another area that I work in. The other thing is we are one of two states. Us and Rhode Island are the only two that have federalized these statutes. So we actually have an advantage. No one has decided, other than the STB, which is the Surface Transportation Board, that's all railroad to me. They're the only ones that say, well, we don't know. Environmental laws we have to follow, but we don't know if we have to follow these federalized state things or not. Well, we'll let a court decide that. And I think a court would come out in our favor.
So what is the pending course of action? What's next?
I think we give the MBTA and the Mass DOT a shot.
30 to 60 days?
Yeah. And I think we give them a shot, and we see what they do. They seem sincere. As I said, the people have been very controlled and very low key on this to some degree. We have not come out of the box swinging. Uncharacteristic of what I would suggest frequently, but we've been restrained. Mass DOT seems like it's got an idea along with the MBTA. Let's see what happens.
Anything, any stone that we haven't unturned or anything that we haven't discussed in regards to this case at this particular time?
Nothing much other than I really don't understand why the other two or three railroads that are big railroads in this state have actually compromised with people in the neighborhoods where these were problems for them. But CSX is the only one so far that I've found that has been this stubborn and such an immovable object.
Interesting in some of the research they did, the courtesy of your assistants, that you really went out of your way to make sure that you put a human voice to this, whether it was at certain meetings, and have residents actually attend and say, hey, you know, this is what we're going through.
Yeah, and like I said, Bob Norvish has really put himself out there. The families, they're somewhat uncomfortable doing that. I mean, it's coming out of your sort of your life the way it is, instead of exposing yourself, yourself to ridicule, exposing yourself to criticism. Mm-hmm. The first one. Well, so why'd you move there? Well, you know what? living next to a train track should be a mutually considerate experience between the train operators and yourself, because their house is there, not a death sentence. You don't deserve to die and breathe garbage in because you happen to live next to a train track. Maybe that's what you can afford. Maybe you can afford better. That's where you live. You don't deserve to die of hydrofluorocarbons or any of the other stuff because you live near a landfill. There are rules. And the funny thing is, there are rules for landfills. Apparently, none of these rules apply to railroads.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because my day doing work for the Enterprise, so one of the things that I covered was the Norton, North Attleboro, Superfund site.
Okay.
In regards to a junkyard, a former junkyard, that there was a significant amount of dumping that went on there, and so much money, and at the time, while it's now. I forgot what Kennedy right now is the representative, the congressman down in that area.
Yeah.
But prior to Congressman Kennedy, you had Barney Frank. That was part of Barney's Frank before the redistricting. He was a champion when it came to getting monies for that Superfund site, which was one of a number of Superfund sites. Because the cleanup was so enormous.
He helped get money for some of those types of sites in Middleborough,
right,
too. I mean, he could. While I may not have agreed with his national politics, I got to tell you, locally, he could bring it home.
He could bring it home. But and the other thing was hearing some of that when they would do updates, and he would show up to that, and a lot of times you'd see a lot of the families of their families were still suffering because there was a high cancer rate in the neighborhood. So not only did they lose loved ones who live in the homes, but they were becoming susceptible to, to disease, whether it was via their lungs, whether it was...
And nobody has a right to do that to you. And I'm sorry that I don't care if it's a preempted field or not. Railroads should not be treated like gods. That is no longer appropriate. And this is really outrageous that even the EPA, looked at this and said, we won't spend the money.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, you've got to actually fight with CSX as opposed to going after widows and orphans? Really? So you got to do your job and it's going to be hard. I'm so sorry. I weep for you. Give back our money and go off somewhere else then.
You know what's fun, and not this topic, is that next week we actually will have, he mentioned his wife, Victoria. Victoria will be part of a segment that we're having in regards to True Repertory Theater and their upcoming show. So she'll be part of a segment we're doing next Monday night at around 7:30.
She's the best.
She is the best.
She is.
And you guys are the best. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us in.
I will say this, is Adam actually was contemplating calling in and then thought better that maybe the quality would be fantastic if he brought his voice to this microphone.
I called in because my wife said to me, Adam, it would be a much better quality interview if you went in rather than going over a phone.
I didn't go that deep, but you had to.
I've got to give her her. I got to give her her
she
due,
does,
man.
She does deserve credit, absolutely. And we'll look forward to the segment that they do next week. And I thank you again for joining.
And by
us.
The way, if anybody is dealing with CSX, please feel free to give me a call. I've got lots of research that I can help you out with. It's the Law Offices of Adam Bond, and it's 508-946-1165. Particularly if anybody from Foxborough is listening, I think there's a better way to go.
Excellent. There he is, Adam Bond, attorney at law, also chairman of the Middleborough Planning Board. Didn't want to leave that out. We are going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about Blue Monday. We're going to talk with Dr. Catherine Sanderson and talk with her about her new book, The Positive Shift. In just a few moments here on Monday Night Talk.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Saturday, November 3rd, 1955, Bobby Palmer gets his brand new basketball backboard nailed into place on the telephone pole directly in front of old Mrs. Borden's house. Now, way back in 55, all backboards were metal and located at the park. If you wanted your own, you made it yourself, out of wood. And Bobby's was a beauty. He was 10 years old and handy. The problem was old Mrs. Borden.
You get off my lawn, young man. I'm calling the Brady Police Department. Now, you give me that big ball there.
Bobby was not about to give up that basketball. Instead, he gave it a mighty heave at the backboard. The ball hit the rim, shook loose the metal hoop that fell through the windshield of old Mrs. Borden's 49 Hudson.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
What basketball hoop?
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thanks again to Adam Bond. If you missed that segment, that was a fantastic conversation with Adam in regards to that situation. And now we transition.
Saturday morning. Oh, Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's not it, Ben. You're killing me, Ben. Is that it? You sure? Bring it up. Of course, that was Fats Domino and Blue Monday. I was kind of hoping that the hook would have been in there somewhere, but that's okay. Great job by Ben. Why is Ben playing it? Well, Blue Monday is right around the corner. And to join us, talk a little bit about her forthcoming book, The Positive Shift, Mastering Mindset to Improve Happiness, Health, and Longevity. This, of course, through Ben Bella Books. We have Dr. Catherine Sanderson on the line. Doctor, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
I made the mistake. I should have set the audio up myself to kind of... Ben on the fly was kind enough to pull up the audio. He actually had another Blue Monday. What's the other Blue Monday song that you had? Just because it was kind of the little introduction, Doctor. Could you bring that up, will you?
Okay. Yeah, I
want to hear. Yeah, hold on. Nah, he's having a hard time getting it. That's right. He'll fade it up, and you'll hear it in the background, Doctor. I forgot who it was. By Orgy? Is that who it was? It was a Blue Monday song. He said it was a popular Blue Monday song. Again, the whole idea was just to kind of give folks kind of the hint of, you're right around the corner, as we're going to talk a little bit about the saddest day of the year. That's it right there. Bring it up.
Oh, I know that song. Is this New Order? Is it New Order?
Yes. All right. Well, we're not here to, but I'm glad at least you got it, Doctor.
Yeah, I got it. Love it. Thank you.
Talk to us about the book. So the book is going to be released, is it next week?
Yes. Very exciting.
Well, you know, it's frigid out there. As you know, you're a New England gal yourself.
I am.
It's cold. It's, you know, we're just still coming out of, we're on the other side where we're gaining daylight. But, you know, we just got done with Christmas. What do we do to get past these doldrums?
So it's a really hard time of year for a lot of people. As you noted, us in New England, we're experiencing not a lot of snow, but a lot of cold. So people who feel better by exercising outside, you know, playing golf or tennis or swimming, they don't have that opportunity. It's also a time in which a lot of our holiday spending is coming due. Those credit cards are, you know, from our big holiday spending are coming up, so people may feel particular financial pressure. And there's so much excitement about the holidays. People look forward to Christmas and seeing family and friends. And then all of a sudden, there's this big letdown. So January is a pretty hard month for lots of people.
Yeah, so what do I do to combat those winter blues? Give me some ideas that I could try to keep myself upbeat until I get past, you know, the discovery and my, you know, American Express bills coming in.
Well, I can't make your American Express bill go away, but what research shows is that there are a lot of behaviors that we can do in our daily lives that can help us adopt a more positive mindset. So one example is, even if you can't spend a lot of time outside because it's so cold, try to find ways of incorporating nature into your daily life in other ways. So you can look outside, and it in fact can be very pretty. Having indoor plants can also help make people feel better. Even doing something as simple as getting enough sleep is really helpful. We hear all the time about the epidemic of sleep deprivation, that people really don't get as much sleep as they should. And yet studies have shown that sleeping more makes you feel better psychologically and is also really good for your physical health.
Now, some of your tips here is find your match. What is that?
So different things make different people happy. I'm so glad that you came up with that example. That really, the key to happiness is not one size fits all. So in my book, I give a little quiz to people. And there basically are different kinds of things that make different people happy. So for example, some people, when they go on vacation, like the warmth and comfort of a luxury hotel. I kind of put myself in that category. But other people, when they go on vacation, like the excitement and adventure of camping outdoors, and they really find greater happiness in that experience. So when we think about what makes people happy, it's not the same thing for everybody. So finding your match in terms of what makes you happy is really important. If we take it in terms of how do you deal with the Blue Monday and the doldrums of January, for some people, it might be picking up a good book reading fiction can really make people happy. For other people, it could be adopting religious or spiritual beliefs. For other people, it could be exercising. Again, finding what makes you happy and finding that match is really important.
You know, and here's another great tip. Although I would think that this is something folks may be trying to do more and more with. It seems as though you can't go on social media without a political fight breaking out over a meme or something, but avoid social media. That's another one of your tips.
Social media is really damaging. So you've brought up a really great example, is that often these days, social media is full of political arguments. That really doesn't make most of us feel very happy. Also the case that when you're on social media, you're often seeing other people presenting their great and fabulous lives. Oh, you know, my child just made Dean's List, and I just ran the Boston Marathon in under 3 hours, and our whole family went to Tahiti for 2 weeks over Christmas, and it was great. And your own life can pale in comparison. So when you spend time on social media, it can make you feel worse about your own life.
And you know, one little factoid here that I'm overlooking, but I think that's important to at least telling our listening audience, is that there comes when you have a positive mindset, it helps you health-wise, doesn't it?
absolutely does. And what's interesting is that we all already actually kind of know that. So the placebo effect is something that most people are familiar with. You have a terribly bad headache and somebody gives you a little pill and says, oh, this is going to make you feel better. Even if that's just an inert sugar pill that doesn't really have any drugs in it, giving people a pill that you tell them will make them feel better actually leads people to feel better in terms of reducing their headache. So lots of research shows that adopting a positive mindset, having positive expectations, leads you to feel better physically. Absolutely.
Plus, what about longevity?
And research has shown that people with more optimistic, positive expectations actually live longer lives. In one of the most remarkable studies that I describe, researchers examined the rookie baseball card photos of professional baseball players. So these were all young men playing professional baseball. They coded the facial expressions that these men had, and what they found was that men who had a big beaming smile lived on average about 7 years longer than men who had a flat or neutral expression. So just smiling, the sort of fake it till you make it idea, can actually be extraordinarily beneficial for health and even longevity.
That is very interesting, and guys need all the help they can get, seeing that women live longer.
That is true. Women do live longer, and that's in part because women tend to have really good social relationships. When we look at the number one best predictor of health and happiness, it's really the quality of our relationships. Not how many friends we have on Facebook, but the number of people in our lives who we feel close and connected to. And women often report having a stronger sense of a social support network from friends, from spouses, from family members, you know, children, etc.
So another tip that you also give is shift your thoughts. How do you do that? How does that help you?
So people really vary in terms of how much they tend to adopt positive versus negative thinking. But we can all learn to reframe or to adopt a more positive expectation about something. I have a son who's now in high school, but when he was maybe 8 or 9 years old, he was heading into school one day to take the MCAS test, you know, the standardized testing that we have here in Massachusetts. And of course, I had read so much about the pressure and the stress and anxiety, you know, kids go into with those testing. So Robert was heading off to school, and I just said, you know, hey, I know it's a really hard day. I know it's really stressful, the standardized testing day, and, you know, just try to take some deep breaths, and, you know, I hope you do okay. And he looked up at me and said, I love standardized testing day. It's so quiet. Everybody just sits and fills in the little bubbles, and at the end of the day, you get candy. So there's like a perfect example in that I had been framing it as this negative, anxiety-provoking, stressful day. And here he is in, you know, third or fourth grade, and he looks up and says, it's my favorite day all year. It's really quiet, and you don't have to read aloud, and you get candy. So that's an example that we can all take, and when something negative happens in our lives, try to find some kind of silver lining. That's what I mean by reframing or shifting our thoughts.
Now, if folks want to find out more in regards to the book, now, where is it going to be available? Is it going to be bookstores everywhere? Is it going to be on your website?
I certainly hope it's going to be available bookstores everywhere. It's already available for pre-order on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. It's going to be available in independent bookstores. And people can find more information out and also check out some videos I've done on this topic on my website, which is sandersonspeaking.com.
That's fantastic. And is this your first book or first of many that you've done?
It is my first trade book in a while.
Wow. And how does it feel getting ready to hit the shelves?
It's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I might just sleep in for next Monday. I'm just, you know that I have to do a show.
Well, hey, sleep is one of the best ways to improve psychological well-being and physical health. So you go for it.
Well, and the other thing is, we didn't mention it here when we were talking about social media. I know we're halfway through the month, but I might even go for, you know, maybe I'll go social media for the rest of the month. I'll go free of social media.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's a good thing to do. You can always come back to it.
Doctor, I want to thank you so much for your time and your patience.
Take care. You have a very nice rest of your 2019.
You got it. There she is, Dr. Catherine Sanderson. And she's got a book coming on the shelves next week, The Positive Shift, Mastering Mindset to Improve Happiness, Health, and Longevity. Now, these books are courtesy of Ben Bella Books. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if Ben is... Ben, if you get on headset just real quick here.
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know what I'm going to do next Monday, knowing that next Monday is actually going to be the saddest day of the year. I don't even know if I want to leave the house.
This is very true.
So what we're going to do now is, coming up in just a moment, why don't we do this? If you will, could you tease our next guest? You actually, a short little clip that I have there of our next guest, who is Mr. Dave Russo, who's going to be joining us in just a couple of seconds. If you will, Dave's a good friend. Dave has been on the show before, and you've seen and heard Dave everywhere. Dave is somebody who has...
I'm like looking around, like, am I missing anything?
I actually like playing the sports probably more than I do. Like, watching. I played all sports growing up. I played hockey, baseball, football. I rolled around.
Dude,
we didn't do anything. And I was on the wrestling team. I actually wrestled Division I in college, and I hurt my knee recently. My doctor says to me, Dave, you shouldn't go jogging anymore. It's bad for your knee. But if you want to continue working out, you should go speed walking, okay? Now, have you seen these nut jobs 6:30 in the morning? It's like, Marley! I'm behind them on my scooter. Like, do they have any idea how foolish they look? Crap a hill. I gotta switch legs. My right leg's getting huge.
Yeah, and that was the one and only Dave Russo, who is going to be joining us in just a half a second, as Dave is going to be performing coming up on the 19th of January at the Polish Club in Abington. And he's going to be joining us to give us details of that. The one and only Dave is joining us now. Dave, welcome to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Oh, man, this is great, man. How about the timing? The timing's fantastic. It's Monday night, and we're talking about Saturday already. Insanity. How you been?
It's good. I actually, you know what's funny
I just got out of bed. I just got out of bed from the weekend, and it's 10 of 8 p.m. on a Monday, and we're talking about next Saturday, which is going to be at the Polish Club in Abington. I hope you're going to be able to make it. We got actually three of my favorite buddies that I've been doing comedy with for 20 years. Danny Miller from Easton. We got Mike McCarthy from the Irish Comedy Tour, and Pete Costello, my first buddy ever, who actually lives in Weymouth, or Braintree, rather. So, we're all there.
And you're the headliner, correct?
And I'm the headliner, yeah. And I'm on the show as well. But these, you know what it is? Alice Bazanson down there, we do a lot of events at the Polish Club of Abington, and he's always, we're going to do a comedy show. I said, well, if we're going to do a comedy show, let me get my buddies, and we'll just make sure we have a big party of fun. I know my buddy Christy Ambrose from 1400 Main Street Grill. Him and his crew is coming over. I know we got some of Pete's buddies coming over, some of my some of Alex's buddies coming over. So it's pretty close to being sold out. There are some tickets still online, but yeah, man, we're psyched. We're bringing comedy to a Polish club. You can't fail if you're doing comedy in a Polish club.
And what's fantastic is this is going to be the first of many comedy stops at the Polish Club?
Well, you know what? Russo on the Road is always looking for hidden gems. And the thing is, Kev, so we did a Boston Bruins alumni event down at the Rockland Rink there, and we always meet up afterward, and we met at this Polish Club, and I said, guys, you have to do entertainment. They got low ceilings, they got a nice stage, intimacy, and of course, once again, a Polish club. So comedy and Polishness. How can you feel?
Dave, what haven't you done? And you know, I should mention that I should probably have Dave on in a month, because are you going to be skating for when the Hug Foundation comes?
The Hug Foundation, I believe, is it March 24th? Is it March 24th? That's the date, I believe.
Yeah, when the ice...
Absolutely. I 100% absolutely will be skating the Hug. I'm actually finding the date out for you right now. That's correct. It's 1:30 p.m. on the 24th, Sunday, March 24th. Absolutely. That's going to be huge. I mean, last year, I believe the governor was there. I know we're going to have a lot of the Bruins alumni are going to be there. Of course, a special, that's going to be a special night for our friend Kevin Joyce.
Yep.
Who we all love, who's, you know, part of the Bruins alumni family, part of the Dirty Water TV family, part of the hockey family, Hockey Cares, Hockey Skates. Just one of the best. And so this is Sunday, March 24th, we'll be skating in honor of, and I believe we're gonna actually retire the number 10, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. There's a lot going on that day.
A lot
so
going
keep on. On your calendar out there.
Well, I guess what I was teasing is that you are, not only are you a fantastic comedian, I mean, you know, your comedy speaks for itself.
Thank you. Very funny.
You do a fantastic De Niro. I don't know if anybody else does about a De Niro, but
Robert De Niro. You know what, Kev? I love. You know, it gets brought up so much. People go, "Oh, he does a great." I heard he does a great De Niro impression on the radio.
Yeah, it is not a visual medium, folks. You will not be able to. You will not be able to see it.
Meanwhile, in the act, I do the face. And I go, I don't do anything. I don't say anything. I just do the face.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, I don't even. So I could say, counselor. Come out, wherever you are. That's Cape Fear. I figure South Shore. I figure, why not? There you go.
But again, not only do you this great comedy, but folks don't realize how athletic you are, how talented you are. I mean, I played softball with you, and I can't think of a better teammate that I'd want to have than Dave Russo.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life, Kev. I love that. You know what? Sports has been a part of my life. Thankfully, through my parents, my mom and my dad. My mom met my dad. She overthrew first base from third base and hit him in the head with a baseball. That's how my parents met. My mom's that good of an athlete. I just put a video of my mother bowling at 74 years old during a curveball getting a spear. I'm glad you said that because that was kind of what kept our family together, playing sports and being competitive. So that's awesome.
Wait. Now, is she a 10-pin bowler? Is she candle pin or duck?
My mom did the candle pins, but my mom, like I said, my mom originally was a softball player. She was president of women's softball for 25 years. Wow. I tease her, but she did. She met my dad. She overthrew first base, hit him in the head. He was an upperclassman. He said, "Hey, can I give you a ride home?" My mom told all her friends, "Hey, I'm getting a ride home from an upperclassman." My dad picked her up on his bike. He didn't have a car. He had a bike. And so, you know, that's how they did. She thought she was getting picked up in a car. He had a Schwinn.
Wow.
So that's how that worked out. Yeah, they've been dating ever since and married 53 years. And they're actually down at Fox's right now losing my inheritance. So,
But hey, listen.
Yeah, so you people better show up. You guys better show up at that Polish club in Abington this Saturday so I can, so I'm not homeless.
That's right. And Dave's mom is in a league of her own. That's for sure.
She is. Oh, you know, it's funny. She actually, when that movie came out, I guess when they show the older women at the end, the original ones, I guess one of them went to her high school. Yeah, went to her high school and I guess coached her back in the day. So.
No.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, my mom's a player.
If folks want to find out about Dave Russo, Russo on the Road, upcoming events like this Saturday night at the Polish Club in Abington, what's your website, my friend?
You know, it's quite simple. It's DaveRusso.net. I'm going to say that one time. It's DaveRusso.net, not .com. That's a plumber in Hull. So it's .net, all right? It's DaveRusso.net.
So whoever that plumber is, he just got a terrific plug from a terrific kind of a guy.
It's actually a guy in Ohio, but I thought Hull would have been funnier.
It did work. It did. You didn't have to spell it out, but we definitely appreciate Dave. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to share with us the details of this Saturday's event.
Man, I love coming on the radio. And by the way, you're a fantastic teammate. I didn't need to tell you that because I was so in awe that you said that because you just gave me the biggest compliment, but I got to tell you something right now, man. You and Jeff Deal are the only two people I've ever seen slide headfirst into a charity game and take out a girl. So I love it. That's why I love it. You did it right.
Dude, you're standing on the base. What do you want me to tell you?
Hey, listen, get out of the way, lady. Get out of the way. 2019.
Charity.
Listen, you know I give a lot of money to charity. She's a dancer in Las Vegas. All right. I love you guys.
Be well, my
Have
friend.
A great one. Take care. Yeah.
There he is. Dave Russo joining us for a couple of moments. Ben, it's been an interesting evening, to say the least.
Indeed it has, but wonderful guests. We've learned a lot. We've laughed. We've cried. A little bit of everything, you know?
You should actually go to the comedy show. I should actually get you to skate. Do you even skate?
I skate. I actually do announcing for hockey games. I do all kinds of hockey-related stuff.
I didn't tell you. Don't spill your resume on the table here. I'm just asking.
That was barely
because
a fraction
maybe,
of that.
Maybe. Well, I don't know, because usually what the Hug Foundation, when people skate for the Hug Foundation, when they skate for the Ice Huggers, usually they're asked to raise a certain amount of money.
Correct.
But what would your position of choice?
You know, I always played goalie on street, but when I got to ice, I became a forward, so I can do pretty much whatever doesn't hurt the team.
Fantastic. Well, great job tonight. Thank you for your patience. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you missed any of the program, again, go to the podcast site. Actually, just go to the homepage, 959watd.com. Scroll down and click on the Monday Night Talk banner for all of our latest podcasts. We're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you on Blue Monday next week. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD FM Marshfield, WATD Brockton.